What I do now is some kind of hybrid or lowbrid between these things. I make records. Some of them aren't, strictly speaking, pop records, but they do, however, still use the audience that I acquired through making pop records. So in a way, they're parasites on the pop music industry, you might say. In another way, I'm a parasite on the high art business because I make audiovisual installations which are exhibited very frequently in galleries and in places that would normally have serious artists in them. So somehow or another, I managed to straddle these two worlds. As a result of doing that, I think a lot about the differences between them. And I think a lot about the way value is maintained in each of these worlds. I was doing a show in the Biennale of São Paulo about 4 years ago, and in the show was Duchamp's urinal. It's also in this exhibition. It was the second time I'd seen it in São Paulo. I'd also seen it at a retrospective, a Duchamp retrospective, in London several years before. I was looking at this thing and thinking, how strange that this piece of porcelain, which was deliberately chosen for its unspecialness, its it-could-be-anything quality, how strange that this particular piece gets shipped around the world at what must be very high price, I should think, big insurance premiums, and keeps turning up the same one. I'll show you it, actually. There it is. The same piece turns up with the same signature on, and I notice that each time the catalogue reference to it gets longer. And I wondered whether there wasn't a kind of contradiction in this, since surely the point of what, at least as far as I can understand the point of what Duchamp was saying, he was saying really, well, it could have been any urinal really, but I happened to pick this one. And this was always my feeling, that it was a deliberately anti-choice type of act. Well, this is what I continued thinking until I read this catalogue note, which says, urinals were, of course, primarily designed for institutional use, and hence not part of the designer aspect of a plumbing company's offerings. But within their group, there were distinct grades, and Duchamp went for the least prestigious. His selection was a porcelain flat-back Bedfordshire urinal with lip. It's the lip, figures 82 and 83. And on the scale which started at the top with full-length porcelain wall units, only the porcelain flat-back Bedfordshire urinal without lip and the tiny corner units used in prisons held a lesser place. This model was cheap, $8 to $15 at the time, light and easy to install, but it was hard to clean, had no water reservoir, and tended to be unhygienic and malodorous. Further on, it says, it was called Fountain, this piece, by the way. The first Fountain may not have been a Mott product at all. This was a real shock to me. We can count the drain holes visible in photographs of the original item, and their number and pattern do not match anything in the Mott line. Can you believe that? So we are licensed to speculate that Duchamp brought from a lesser source the holes match perfectly with those in the flat-back Bedfordshire of the A.Y. MacDonald Company, and illegitimately ennobled the object with the classier brand name association. Well, this was quite a bombshell to me, as you can imagine. So I wondered really whether... I wondered what Duchamp said about this. So I found a book that, with some quotations from him about it, and he said, "The choice of these ready-mades, for example, the urinal entitled Fountain, was never dictated by aesthetic delectation. The choice was based on a reaction of visual indifference with a total absence of good or bad taste, in fact, a complete anesthesia." And later on, he said, This neo-dada, which they call new art, pop art, assemblage, etc., is an easy way out and lives on what Dada did. When I discovered ready-mades, I thought to discourage aesthetics. In neo-dada, they've taken my ready-mades and found aesthetic beauty in them. I threw the bottle rack and urinal into their faces as a challenge, and now they admire them for their aesthetic beauty. So I thought, there's sort of a contradiction there, isn't there, between the drift of those two statements. One statement is saying that, Duchamp's statement is saying, I was deliberately not acting as an artist. And the other one was saying, oh yes, he was really. It wasn't just any old urinal, it was actually rather a special urinal. In fact, probably the very best urinal in the whole world that he could have chosen was that particular one. So I thought, well, really, this thing at exhibitions is silly. Why don't they just go down to Canal Street and buy a urinal if they want to show one? Surely the point is, the point of Duchamp's work was that any piece would do, you know. So I thought, I wonder why this happens, this deification of this particular piece of porcelain. I think there are two reasons. One of them is that high art is very medieval in a certain way. It's very much attached to relics, to ideas of the value that accrues to something through it being touched by somebody. It's like fragments of the true cross or St. Anthony's veil or whatever he wore. He didn't wear a veil, did he? No. St. Anthony's leg. Or in this case, Marcel's piss pot, you know. I'm sure we don't really think that there's anything particular about this, except that Marcel Duchamp touched it. And it has a place in history, and it's very expensive to insure. But the second thing that's happening with this kind of writing about this object is that a process of reclamation is going on. This piece was made as a kind of challenge, and I think by writing about it in this way, you prevent it being a challenge. You say, oh no, sorry, actually the fence extends to include that as well. It's made, he's a real artist actually, he didn't just choose any urinal, it was the Bedfordshire flatback, you know, it was an artistic decision. As soon as you can claim that it was an artistic decision, rather than the act of indifference that he claims, then you can kind of fence it into the world of high art as it was known, as it's still known, without it threatening to erode the plateau that high art sits on. I'll come back to the plateau. Well, having seen that piece three times now in three different places, geographically very far apart, I thought maybe it was time to reinstate the urinal's place in the real world. So I read some art magazines, you see, and I heard about this thing called commodification. So I thought I would try to do a performance actually here, and this was going to be my performance. I just switch this off. So this. The first picture. There's another one. Here's a side view. You need this kind of thing if you're making grant applications. So I was all set up to do this, and I arrived at the museum expecting the thing to be stuck on a wall so that I could execute this performance. But unfortunately, it was behind sheets of glass. So I'm very disappointed to say that I couldn't do that. However, I did notice on inspecting the sheets of glass quite carefully that they didn't quite meet. There was a small crack between them. It was about 3/16 of an inch wide. So I thought, I wonder if I could slide a small pipette through there, containing some of my urine. And that's what I did. There is the pipette. Can you see? It's a piece of plastic tube stiffened with a piece of wire, available from any hardware store. And I thought actually that this would be an act of decommodification, but I realized, of course, that it's an act of this. So the result of all this, I'm sure, is that it was only a few milliliters. I don't think it will void the insurance or anything like that. Anyway, this action of mine raises some very important questions, I think. The first one is my piss valuable? No, I want to know, actually. I'll be interested to hear comments from the audience later on about that. Is it as valuable as Andy Warhol's? Is it as valuable as Andres Serrano's? I don't think it is, actually. But it might become that way now as a result of this act. Does this act enrich or erode the peace? Depends what I've been eating, I guess. Does the act of returning it to its original usage make it a more valuable work? If so, what do I get? Will I be eligible now for any grants? So those are questions that I shall leave hanging for the moment. And I'll just make a few remarks to conclude this historic moment in the history of art. That is actually my mark on art history. It's probably the only mark I shall leave on art history. It hasn't made much of a mark, actually, but you probably can see it if you look carefully.